He already fucked it up, folks.
It's... I hate, like, this few seconds of silence that I have to do right before I have to do, like, hey, do. Anyway, Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. That's it? Usually there's a lot more to it. Anyway, because...
What number are we on, by the way?
He doesn't number them.
Yeah, I lost count.
Yeah.
It's like 15.
Cool.
Anyway, because you can't play two games at once.
Okay.
Can't play two games at once.
Yep.
I've tried.
You can,
Which two?
I played... this is going to sound really stupid, but like when I play like Smite or something that's right. not on Steam, then I'll have another game running on Steam in the background so I can get cards.
Cards, right. Yeah.
So I guess I'm not actually playing two games.
Yeah.
But I play a little Sudoku in between my MOBA desks.
Yeah, for sure. So. And like Hearthstone. Yeah. I'll play like Words for Friends in between.
You can do that. Yeah.
And I just saw the world's record for most games played at once. It was Jimmy Fallon on his show. He played 5 consoles at once. He was playing Dance Dance Revolution with his legs. And then he had like a controller with the old school Nintendo. He was playing like something that only used the directional keys. And then he had one controller in each hand. He was playing like a tennis game. Oh, and a Wii thing. And he was controlling the Wii thing with like his chest and stuff. They gave it to him, so he's in the world record for that.
Wow.
Yeah. World record, okay. Yeah. I kind of want to play a ton of games at once now. Kind of like, you know, when you see like the chess master play or something, like, and he goes down the row and makes one move on each one.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to be like some wizard like that.
Should we do introductions?
Yeah. Across from me is Flopsy, a.k.a. Chad.
What up?
And to my right, Ender's Logic.
What's up?
A.k.a. Emilio. And, of course, myself, I am Robert Digital, a.k.a. Bobby.
How's it going?
Yeah.
How are
great
things?
Great intro. Yeah. How about that local sports team, huh?
Yeah.
Quite the match. Eh? I don't know about the refs, but...
Yeah, it was interesting listening to you guys talk about sports last week without me. The resident sports guru.
We're just guessing at stuff.
I'll tell you what. Like, I grew up and I was really into baseball. I kind of got into football a little bit because all my friends were into football. So I kind of got into football, did fantasy leagues and stuff like that. Once I stopped drinking, my interest in sports bottomed out. Like, I completely lost all interest.
I think you need to drink in order to make it entertaining. Well,
sports is a social thing, and social goes with drinking, you know? So I can definitely understand. If you're not drinking, if you're not being social, then the appeal of sports goes down
for me. And Bobby's neither. Doesn't drink or be social.
Yeah, I try to be, man. I'm social in a very specific way. As social as you can be in when you just play as many computer games as I do.
A million Steam friends, if you want to count that.
That's funny because, like, I have friends, like my buddy Brian, who I've never met, you know? Like,
I'm
only video game friends.
Yeah, there's some long-lost friends that I wish I could, like, for EverQuest friends.
Yeah.
That, like, I'll never be able to contact again, you know?
Yeah.
And this is before Skype and all that, so I don't... And it's a drag, man, because, you know, we were really good friends.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
Yeah. I want to get into this real quick. It's the biggest...
Real quick?
Yeah, real quick.
Okay.
This is the biggest thing in my gaming week as far as news. Facebook bought the Oculus.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah. So at first, this is really big for me. You know, the Oculus is my Lord and Savior. So, so I first saw this and I'm like, fuck. Like, first thing I thought was, I'm going to be in my virtual reality. I'm going to get a little like icon that is my cousin trying to get me to play a Singing Hearts Roulette 3, you know what I mean?
Mafia, like, Wars pop.
Yeah. And so I'm like, fuck. But then I try to look at things from multiple angles, and I read a couple more articles, and this one guy had like a really good point where they bought Instagram, right, for like some ridiculous amount of money, $8 billion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Instagram has since become better. And they bought WhatsApp for like a ridiculous amount of money. It was, you guys know?
40 billion or something like that.
Something crazy,
I don't
yeah.
Those numbers
they,
now.
They could have done something like 8 Olympics for that kind of money. But anyway, it's
too
early to
see. Icelands.
Two Icelands.
About two Icelands.
Yeah. But it's too early to see if they're improving WhatsApp. But Instagram is definitely
what is
better.
WhatsApp, though? Like, I heard they bought it for all this money. I was like, I don't even know.
It's
what
a
this
communication is. App that people have been using to bypass long distance charges, basically.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So you can call people through the internet. It's like Skype, pretty much.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But it's more phone based than PC based. That's pretty much guessing.
I guess it's a play on word of what's up.
Yeah. That's pretty much, that's all
did
I got.
Did that have to be said?
I think it is. I think it had to be.
We needed to obviously, you brought it up. So, anyway, Zuckerberg said that he's going to leave the team together. They're doing good work. You know, it sounds like he knows what's good about the Oculus, and he's just going to leave it on. He's just going to own it and pretty much take in the revenue. And now they have the money to do whatever they want. $2 billion,
yeah,
for something in development that's already profitable. Like, that's pretty good. So we'll
is it
see.
Already profitable? Because
they're selling the dev kits,
the
and stuff.
Kickstarter and all.
Yeah.
Question related to this: have you guys ever played any Facebook game? Because I hear all this doom and gloom on the internet. You know, they bought it. Oh, you know, Facebook, it's going to get ruined.
Right.
It was all good. It was good until this and all this stuff. And I guess the question I have is, you know, Facebook emphasizes games. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of games.
There's like, you know, that's part of Facebook now is right. The mm-hmm. Facebook games.
Yeah.
And, you
know.
You
want to call those games.
Well, exactly. My question is, do you call those games, and have you guys ever playing any Facebook game? For myself, I played Marvel's Avengers Alliance.
A lot.
Yeah. I was playing that a lot.
Dude, he had macros.
And until I almost purchased money on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, let me take a step back and evaluate my life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I was playing that and I was having a blast, you know. It's a addicting game, obviously.
Yeah.
So the question I have is, as hardcore gamers, have you guys ever played any Facebook games?
No. I never really regarded those as games. I mean, those like strictly feed off like a compulsive feeling of, you know, necessity in order to get people to play and give money.
Kind of like a mobile.
The designer's focus primarily wasn't let me make art to be enjoyed. Let me make something addictive to make money. And that was their goal, their sole goal. So,
true.
You know, I don't want to really take part in that.
Yeah.
I'm never going to play Candy Crush, you know.
But at the same time, I guess what I'm, my thought process is, whatever the reasons, if it's fun, it's fun. You know, like Candy Crush might have been designed purely as a, you know, click to level up, addictive, let's see how much money we can do. But at the end of the day, if it's fun, it's fun, right?
But like, it's not designed to be fun.
Obviously it is, because millions of people are playing it.
Well, fun is being used, I hate to quote here, but fun is being used as a linguistic catch-all.
Okay.
You know, what people say, oh, well, it's fun, it's not necessarily fun. If you replace the word fun with another word like joyous or something, then it doesn't quite add up. I mean, people, when you play one of those games, you have a compulsion or a need to fulfill like part of it, and that's what keeps you coming back.
But in that same sense, that's the same thing that WoW does.
Well, it's the same thing that gambling does too.
But yeah, but I guess the question is, we consider WoW a game.
WoW has a lot more game elements than say Farmville or Mafia Wars.
Well, I'm saying, I played Marvel Alliance, and I see the compulsive need to do it. But at the same time, I had fun just in a purely game sense on that game. And I understand that there's a lot more, you know, reason to have to log in every day and everything like that. But so does WoW. Like, WoW's got daily quests. You know, like, Loadout has, you know, daily quests, and it forces you to go in every day. And you guys were doing that, the daily
for a while. Are you sure it's fun and not satisfying, like hijacking your reward system?
Yeah.
Solely.
See, I feel like we've discussed this. Maybe it was last week, but I've like criticized Loadout a lot for those very reasons. And World of Warcraft.
I deleted it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, yes. You know, we came back after 2.8 came out, and I was just like, yeah, I think, you know, they got my
Didn't
10
they
bucks.
Recently just come out with something?
2.0, yeah, and it wasn't impressive. We played it, and I was just like,
It didn't feel any different.
Did you guys talk about this last week?
No, not at all.
No, not really.
So what was 2.0, just out of curiosity?
Apparently they have a new propulsion system for rockets and, like, very small things. The shield was nerfed. You have to activate
it. You have to activate the shield now.
And in order for it to use another one, you have to use a pickup. You know how there's a grenade pickup? Yeah. So you have to get another one of those.
And if you group with your friends, it's supposed to keep you grouped as much as possible, less of groups getting split up when you queue up.
It wasn't that bad of an issue beforehand, was it?
It was always splitting us up. Especially but we were having fun being on opposite teams in that game. So.
In that game, it's so like casual. You don't really fucking care.
But I'm telling you, dude, I know I brought this... I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I watched a YouTube video of... Did I tell you about this Jonathan Blow, the designer of Braid, and he's making that new game, The Witness?
Yeah. About it last week.
We did bring that up last week? Okay. Because, I mean, if you check out that YouTube video, it's called Video Games and the Human Condition with Jonathan Blow.
Oh, right.
It's a lecture that he did out of college. It's like an hour and a half long, but it's so good, I actually listened to it twice. Wow. You can have it on in the background, but he talks exactly about what we're talking about now, about tactics that are used in games to keep people compulsively playing them. Mm-hmm. And how people often mistake that as fun.
So we've digressed quite a bit. Let's bring it back to, is Facebook good for the Oculus? It remains to be seen, correct?
Yeah. And I think in any of these situations where a large company buys a smaller company, there are good and bad elements of it. The good thing is they will have a glut of resources to do whatever the fuck they want to do. But at the same time, they have overlords, or they got people that
somebody
they now have to report to.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be good and it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And people are going to say that it's the worst thing ever, and other people are going to say it's good. You know,
those games that have come out of Facebook, Facebook supports them, but they didn't invent those games. Those are from other companies, you know?
Yeah.
He's just a facilitator for evil.
I guess the larger question is, does that mean that Facebook is looking to get into the...
Absolutely. It's the future, man.
Are they looking...
Facebook's trying to get into everything.
The Steam box? Are they looking to get into the console race? Like what's going on there?
Anything that's profitable. That company has so much money, it's like, why wouldn't they get involved in anything that's financially successful?
Yeah, but I was thinking, like, how many billions do they have that they're buying all these things for... This many billions of dollars.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah.
But, Zuckerberg's a nerd. You know, he's a geek, like us. So, he saw this really cool emerging technology.
Not exactly like us.
Way smarter.
All three of our intelligence put into one.
Yeah. He's a really smart guy.
I think at the, just from hearing that, it kind of sounds bad at first, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as we think.
No. And from what I, that one... I wish I had his one quote that he said. It was more like, I'm just going to let them keep doing what they're doing, basically. So, yeah. And I believe him. He's always been a stand-up guy. He's never, lied or anything. Yeah. So what we got next?
Let's see.
I got a little something.
All right.
So I'm an imager guy. I scroll through Imager. That's what interests me when I have some downtime. And I saw Imager had this pop up for the for Steam Global Stats project. Mm-hmm. And so they had a bunch of stats. So I just wanted to tell you guys a couple things that I saw on this.
Let's make it a game.
This is Steam Global Stats. So, I don't know how to exactly make this a game because it's coming off
the
cuff.
Ask us what we think on some of these stats.
Okay. Well, so they were doing a bunch of stats on just Steam in general.
Right.
So 77.8% have played the game, which means that 22% of the games that are bought on Steam have never been played, which I find incredible considering I've played every single game I've ever bought on Steam. I buy a game to play it. I buy it and then I load it up and then I play the game. There's no in between steps.
Yeah. What happens is a sale happens and you pick up four titles. And I don't really like, I like to have a, on, I like to have like a major game, like a Skyrim. I like to have a online game that I play like a shooter. And then maybe something quick to jump into. And then that's it. But I can't have multiples of those. You know?
But one in five, more than one in five games aren't played.
Bobby's one, he's the opposite. Like, he's the extreme of that. He plays one-fifth of the game that he has. No, isn't that what you said?
Yeah, it's about that. Right? You can look up your own personal stats for Steam, and it'll tell you.
So, here's a question. Here's a little game. How many... What do you think the percentages of games have been finished on Steam?
Oh, very low. Jeez. I would say under 20%.
Bobby? You want to make
a guess? I'd say even lower than that. Are we talking about all games?
Yeah.
Hmm. All games. So... out of games that people have purchased and they played,
yeah,
how many of them have they actually completed?
Yep.
God, like 2%?
It's actually 29.6%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot more than I thought.
All right.
So they got a whole bunch of stats on here, but the other one that I found interesting was... speaking of Skyrim, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
Only 32% of the players have finished the actual quest of Skyrim.
Yeah, a lot of people, I don't know anybody but myself that have finished the thing, finished the primary quest.
Yeah, I'm very close.
Yeah.
So the other one that I found interesting was, so they were talking about roguelikes.
Right.
And so they said almost 23% finished Binding of Isaac twice. Wow. Which apparently there's reasons for playing it more than once.
Yeah.
Less than 10% has played finished Rogue Legacy more than twice. But 16% of the players that have Binding of Isaac have finished it 9 times.
Wow.
I was like, what the hell's going on there?
That's the one, when people talk about roguelikes, they always bring that up. I gotta pick it up. Next time
it's on sale for like $1.24, like all the time.
Yeah,
it's a fun game.
The other thing that I found interesting was more people play games on normal than they play on easy. I find that to be interesting.
No, it's a default setting, so I could totally understand that.
And they said, where is this at? For BioShock Infinite.
Everybody completed it, but
there's a super hard mode, which is like the 1999 mode or whatever mode that is.
Can you only unlock it after you beat hard?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Only like 1% have finished it on that 1999 mode.
Wow. Hmm.
Yeah.
Dude, only one person has beat. I believe this is true. Only one person has beat XCOM on the hardest possible settings.
Only one person.
Yeah. It's like the super hardest version, and then it's also on hardcore mode where it's permadeath.
Permadeath, wow.
Yeah.
I think more games should have the permadeath option.
I love permadeath. Oh, like an option?
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, but I want a reward if I'm going to do permadeath.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I want to see, like,
or something.
The nude skin be unlocked or something like if I beat it in
let's just say, you know, titties.
Yeah, titties.
You know, if I'm going to be rewarded, then titties.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I like being able to take something away at the end of the day, not just lose it all.
That's the perfect thing about roguelikes. Permadeath plus you get something out of your last thing. That's why I like them so much.
The other thing that was brought up in this Steam...
Is this by Steam, or is this other?
This was a. This is called the Global Stats Project by Steam.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's got a website. I've got the condensed version that's on Imgur. But the one of the questions that was brought up was, do Steam sales work?
Yeah.
And it was comparing like, games bought prior to the Steam sale versus after and all, and it came down to that Steam sales do work if they put a game on sale on Steam, people actually turn around and buy it. Yeah. You know, like
I almost always buy them, on sale.
Well, I read an article like maybe a month or so ago, and it was kind of speaking out against Steam sales. It was by a developer, a guy who made, I'm going to mess this up. I want to say it had the word dungeon in it. It might have been Endless Dungeon or something like that. But the guy was saying that Steam sales kind of ruin it for everybody because everybody has this mentality that I'll wait till it's on sale. You know, right. Nobody wants to buy anything till it's on sale. I mean, look at Thief right now, on sale for $33. How long ago did that come out?
It has a lot to do with their reviews as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've seen this happen before where like a game comes out, it's a little overhyped, it doesn't deliver, and then a couple months later you can buy it for $10.
Good for them.
But yeah. I mean, the question is that a sale problem or is that a developer problem?
That's
like
a developer
make
problem.
A good game and we'll fucking buy it. Like, right?
No. I don't know. See,
if that was a 96, they would have sold a lot more.
I would have bought it if it was a 96.
Yeah.
Like, I was excited for Thief.
Yeah.
Well, I want a stealth fucking action game. You know, like, I want to buy it. I want to buy that game.
But yeah. I think Thief is a bad example of what this developer was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is a little more of an indie game. But I think games in general, even major titles, I don't buy unless there's on sale. I have stuff on my wish list for like $20. I will buy $20 worth of games on sale rather than buy the $20 game that I actually want.
But right.
I think more people are like that than...
But yeah. The thing is, you are a success story for developers. You've spent thousands of dollars on video games. Like, that is a success story. So whatever you're doing, like, that's not an issue. The issue is the people that don't buy games, do free-to-play games, and no longer buy it. Like... they've gotten money out of you. Like, they've taken your money. So, like, they're probably doing it right for you.
I'm an anomaly here, but I'm telling you, more people will not buy a game at full price. They will buy a game for $19.99 if it's 20% off. But if that game is $19.99 without a 20% off tag, they won't buy it. That's just how a lot of these... And this guy had stats, too. He was saying, this is all the sales I've made from the game. And you see three giant peaks. One was when he released the game. The other was during a Steam sale, and the other one was during the next Steam sale. He's like, he only sells games during a sale. So the thing this guy was doing was saying, you'll get like 10, 20% off the game if you pre-purchase. But after that, I'm never putting this game on sale.
So really? He's not going to do it?
He's never going to put a game on sale.
See, but what sale, not just are you getting at a cheaper price, but you're getting free advertising. Because Steam's putting it on sale, which means it's on its, you know... it's highlighted. There's so much shit on Steam.
Yeah.
Tons of horrible games. Tons of good games. Things get buried right away. The only way to rise to the top is to put your game on sale. I don't agree with this guy at all. I mean, he's in the business. He's probably knows what he's talking about. But if it was true, you'd have a lot more developers. He just has a sour taste in his mouth.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, the game was Castle Doctrine. Which I know is on Steam for about $15.
If he named this game that, I don't like him either. There's more reason not to like him.
I guess the larger question is, if you're not on Steam, like, how are you getting... Like, how are people even aware of you anyways? Like, you need to be on Steam.
Minecraft is the anomaly.
The free-to-play Minecraft? Yes.
Yeah. It's not free-to-play.
You have to buy Minecraft now?
Yeah, you always did.
Do you have to buy Minecraft?
It was like $5.
No, it's $26.99.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy shit. No wonder I've never played that game.
You can download like a free version of it. But yeah, the actual retail game is like a little under $30.
And speaking of Minecraft, I've been playing... I haven't been playing. I bought Starbound. And it feels a lot like Rust. What were we just talking about?
Minecraft.
And Minecraft and Super Mario Brothers. So it's like a 2D side-scroller with all those things in it. I thought I was going to like this game a lot more. I only played it for maybe an hour. So I'm just... But it's very like... So you're this like space explorer. You ran out of fuel. You can teleport down to the surface and start... You got to start crafting... to get to the point where that you can make a satellite dish and like call for help basically. But I haven't got to that point yet. I'm almost to where I can make a satellite dish. I don't think you can control what aliens come to come pick you up. They could be hostile or they could be, so you need to be prepared for them as well. But you have basically nothing. You need to craft everything.
But it's multiplayer, right?
I am not sure. I think so. Oh, that was that. It was a four pack. Yep, that was a four pack, and I was like, oh, should I wait for these guys?
Well, Bobby's bought it, obviously.
No, I don't have that game.
Yeah. And I bought it full price.
It hasn't been on sale since it came out, so I haven't bought it.
I really need
it. Has it come out, or is it still early access?
Early access.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and at a certain point, like, I needed iron ore. I mean, it's so rust. Like, I need to make a workstation, so I needed wood. And then I needed to make a furnace, so I needed cobblestone. Like, it... Like, all the crafting is very... But it's much more robust and dynamic. There's a way more things you can build and have to build.
But you're not worried about other people coming in and killing you.
No, because I... But you could play multi. You could play online, but I played single player because I wanted to learn the game, you know?
Gotcha.
And, you know, you start off with this thing called the Matter Manipulator, and it's basically a do-anything type tool. It'll cut down a tree, but it's super slow. And anything you do, you could dig down in the ground, but everything is super slow. It's terrible. You have to build an axe, and then you have to... But I was just sitting there like, fuck, what the fuck? This is taking way too long. What's cool, there's a few things, you know, everything's procedurally generated, so I don't think you'll ever see the same planet twice. You can literally run around the whole planet, depending on the size of it. The mobs seem to be randomly generated, like... You know, a bunch of different parts are put on. You don't know what the mobs are going to look like.
Like a spore?
Right, yeah, yeah. But this is all 2D. Very pretty 2D 8-bit graphics, but very pretty. And you don't know how they're going to act either.
Don't you find that funny, pretty 8-bit graphics?
Yeah. Like... I mean, we were talking about it last week. Some people can really stretch out some gorgeous stuff, you know. Like Monaco always comes up.
Yeah.
The combat was surprisingly satisfying. You know, all they're doing is, like, jumping at you and stuff, right? And you have this, like, little... All I have is a bow and arrow. But it was fun. Like, I was trying to time my jumps and shoot the arrow and get them just right. Or, like, there was this really big monster I ran into once. I dug under him and just made a little tiny hole in the surface and just shot arrows up through the little hole and killed a big monster that I had no business getting. I outsmarted an 8-bit monster.
Gotcha.
And so that... you know, has
so it sounded fun, but you don't seem like you're
it wasn't that fun. And then, but then I found myself thinking about it when I was at work, like, well, what am I going to do when I get home? Like, so that part was cool. And I, you know, that was going to be my game for playing next week and stuff. But now I picked up Project Zomboid, and man, I've only played maybe an hour of it, and I really like it. It is, this is my analogy.
Wait, how much was Starbound, by the way?
15. I had to pay full price.
$15 for the early access,
right?
And then you'll get it when it comes out,
right? Yep.
Okay.
But so you don't. I can't recommend it or not recommend it right now. I need more time,
okay.
And that's what I'm going to be playing this week. So I have a monopoly on this podcast right now.
No, no.
So Zomboid, I picked up for how much was it, Bobby?
$10 sale for $10.
Yeah, $10.
So it's already out.
Yeah, no, it's early access as well.
This one's early access also?
But it's very playable.
These early access.
It's very playable. So it is to zombies... it is to zombies what Football Manager is to soccer. It's like a numbers game. You know, it's a simulation.
Okay.
Yeah, right, so it's not action-based. It's top-down... And you're walking around, but it's all about the numbers. How much are you carrying? How much do you need to eat? Like, I was walking around, I got damp. And it's like, you know, if you stay damp, you're going to get sick. You know, it gave you a warning. I had to continually eat. What you can see, it's very, very cool. Your line of sight, everything's black on the screen except for your line of sight. So if you get near a window, it opens up that line of sight. And if you walk away, the sight from that window gets more and more narrow.
Okay.
So zombies can be anywhere. Like, they can be right in the next room. You wouldn't know until you open that door. And that's what just happened to me like a few minutes ago. It was scary. You know, it was top down and I was like, oh shit. And then I pulled out my gun.
Is this like 8-bit graphics or is it...
Yeah. If there's a such thing as worse, then okay. Yeah.
Basically,
it's just good enough for you to know what everything is.
So it looks like Nintendo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like Paperboy.
So this is, you're not a character moving around shooting stuff.
You are.
Okay, but you're not doing that in real time. Is that what you're saying?
No, you are. But I was just saying there's a heavy emphasis on the numbers where, like, so I picked a construction worker and there was like 40 stats and all the bars, you could be a police officer or firefighter and they all had their things. And there was like downsides and upsides to each one of them. And there's just tons of numbers. And I could have really got into it and like looked at them. Like I saw that he got like, cause I'm a construction worker. He's tougher than the average Joe. And, he has a, like eye for like detail, you know, and he, you know, just other thing. And then, but he has downsides where like, he's not very, sprinty and stuff like that.
Is it like a roguelike when you die?
I don't know. I haven't died yet. There's three game modes. There's survival. There's sandbox, which is what I'm playing. And then there's, I forget what it's called, but it sounds like, they're attacking you like nonstop, like a barricade or whatever. Gotcha. And basically you can just set this game up the way you want to play a survival horror. It sounds real. I mean,
so you're in a city and you're going through different
buildings? I'm going from house to house right now.
Okay.
Yeah. And I haven't hit a city yet.
But you've been really excited about this game ever since you got it.
Yeah.
What's the fun? I'm not hearing the fun.
Well, the whole thing, the reason I'm a big zombie nerd is what would I do in this situation? And since this is the most realistic zombie game I've ever seen, I get to play out what I would do.
Most realistic. Yes. So you're saying it's more realistic than DayZ?
Well, the thing about DayZ is you don't know if that server's been picked clean. You know, I don't know. It's tough because I'm carrying, like, it tells you to carry water with you, right? I'm carrying two filled mugs of water. I don't have any water bottles. And he's carrying that and a gun, like, that's impossible, right? So it's not that realistic. But, yeah, you have to carry water on you and all that stuff, so.
Sounds like a little more role-playing than DayZ.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like I said, a lot more numbers. You can't carry too much stuff.
But the graphics, the graphics sound like shit.
Yeah, they're.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's good enough to know what you're doing.
Is it like a twin-stick shooter where you can, are you, like, how's the combat? I haven't
killed anything yet. you're born with shoes and pants. You only have a shirt on. I still don't have a shirt. I've been looking for a shirt. I got tons of food though, broccoli and stuff.
Sexy construction worker.
Yeah.
No shirt on.
He's got a hairy chest too, and he's Mexican.
How do you know the hairy chest? You're looking top down at that.
No, it's a third
isometric.
Like Diablo?
Isometric.
Yeah.
The game looks interesting. It's come very highly recommended by a few people, so I'm excited to check that one out.
Yeah.
You haven't actually... you own it, but you haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I got that, like, less than a day ago, actually.
I'm going to shut up for the rest of the podcast now.
That was awesome. I'm excited. Now I kind of want to see what you play.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch next time you play.
The last second, like, right when Bobby walked in, I had opened the door. You know, I'm at my third house, and you have to look in the windows first to see if it's cool for you to go in to look for zombies.
And but you haven't actually seen a zombie yet.
No, yeah, I have. I've run from them. They can't open doors. Because
you have no weapons.
I have a pistol. Let me finish. So I open a door, and there's two fucking zombies in there. And it's like, dun, 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 and you automatically get the debuff of panicked, which means you can't aim that well. So, like, I ran down the steps, and then... I'm like, I'm going to kill these. I need to know if my pistol... Because I found the pistol. Click, click, click. I hadn't fucking...
Loaded it.
So I ran into... Right now, my character is like in the washroom. Like trying to figure out how to load a gun while two zombies are outside. Like let us in. They can't open doors so far. Oh, and I had to sleep too. And that was kind of nerve-wracking. Like I stepped on a couch. I was like... Any motherfucker could walk right in and kill me.
So it's kind of like you playing The Walking Dead.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. You grab it while it's on sale.
Too bad I fucking hate zombies and will never play a zombie game and can't wait for this whole zombie fad to be over.
It'll be a while. You know, when I saw you playing that game when I came in, it looked very similar to this other terrible game that I bought called Yet Another Zombie game or something like that. That's literally the title of it. And it was kind of like, it looks just like that game, but it's really bad. I mean, it was $1.50, so, you know, what are you going to do?
If you are titling it yet another zombie game, then you pretty much know this.
Well, it's funny because it was titled that, and it literally was just yet another zombie game. It was like, it was kind of making fun of the fact that, well, there's all these zombie games out there, and they're all the same, and they all kind of suck. And it's like, well, so does this one. So, yeah, fun stuff. But
you bought it anyways, because it was $1.50.
Of course, yeah. It was on sale, and you can get a two-pack for $2.24. I mean, come on. $2. But yeah, you know, last week I was wondering what I was going to play, because I got some time off, and I did try to play a little of Total War Rome, the new one. Couldn't get into it too much. That is a very, very strategic game. If you're like a strategy game player, that's like the game for you. I mean,
there's 8 million total wars, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
But this is the newest one,
and they all kind of take different periods of time.
But you've played other ones, right?
No.
This is the first Total War?
Never played Napoleon, never played Shogun, never played any of that. So yeah, and I enjoy strategy. I've been wanting to play. It is. It's not too bad. You know, you've got a little bit of Civ 5 in there. Like, it's got a map, and they've got different sections, like hexagonal sections, I think, that you can go to and position your troops. And then when you actually do a battle, it is very slow and strategic. It's all about flanking and troop positions and moving these guys here. There's
like, as it would be.
Right? Yeah.
Did you get that sense where it's realistic?
It's very realistic, yeah. Yeah, a lot of line of sight stuff. You got to position your troops on in different areas, and there's like, do you guys ever? You never played Age of Empires 2, did you?
No.
I asked you before, but you could choose a formation for your group, so you could put like your archers in the middle, and then have your warriors or your melee guys on the outside, or you know, move the cavalry here and all that stuff. This has like 10 different formations you can take with your army, like a ton of them.
Wow.
So it's like really, really in depth, but I don't know. I might continue to play it, but
did you like it though?
Not right off the bat. I'm not huge into strategy games though.
Okay.
I feel like this is something you have to put some time in before you get anything out of it.
It wasn't as daunting as I thought. Like, I am having trouble in the level I'm on, but it really wasn't as hard and as dense as I thought it was. Maybe I haven't gotten far enough.
Is it pretty?
It tries to be. It's got a lot of graphics settings, and my computer actually seems to struggle with it a bit, but I don't think it really looks all that great. Yeah, so I didn't play that too much. Actually, I ended up getting into, other than Payday 2, we can talk about that a little bit again if we want. But
no, yeah, I want to, because you guys talked about it last week, but I wasn't here to talk about it. So it's fun.
Well, I started playing, this is probably going to be the game I'm going to play during my time off, Tomb Raider. The new one.
Oh, I love that game.
Really?
I really played it
on the PlayStation, so...
Okay.
I did it on the console.
It would be a good console game. But, yeah. I mean, I'm only about a third of the way through it.
It suffered from consoleitis, for sure.
There's a lot of things I like about it, and it seems pretty cool. I mean, I feel like the story is, like, so contrived, though. I feel like the story is so bad. I mean, I understand it's kind of cool that it's, like, the origin story of Lara Croft. And I've never really been in Tomb Raider to begin with, so maybe that has something to do with it. But it's just like right off the bat, this chick knows who's good and who's bad. It's like they crash land on this island, they meet some fucking rando, and she's like already like telling her friend, don't trust him. And then like these other dudes show up and she's like, no, don't surrender. These guys are bad. I'm like, how the fuck do you know like who's good and who's bad? You got like some third sense, you know? It's like,
I don't know, man. I think they're pretty creepy. You come.
That's funny because I'm usually the first guy to say the story is contrived, and I didn't have a problem with
me neither with
Tomb Raider. Like, I
like that game a lot.
First of all, you got this chick who's like fucking supermodel gorgeous. She's just like, I'm gonna be an architect, and I'm in this like really ghetto boat with all these guys, and then like she goes through all this shit. It's like, how are you not getting raped? Seriously?
Like, don't they try? They try, right? At the very beginning.
You know what?
One guy tries and kill her.
Well, that's another problem with the game. There's way, way too many quick time events. Like, I felt like
you haven't gone very far in the game if you're complaining about quick time events, because that's only the start of the game, from what I remember.
What? Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
They beat the shit out of that poor girl.
That's the best part. It's like, like a, it's like Indiana Jones style. Like she's surviving, but barely. Like she gets worse and worse.
What, did, what else did we expect from Mr. Shutdown?
It's a bit of a snuff film, but you know, I mean, there are some things that I do like about it, and I do, I will continue to play it, you know, until I complete it. But I hate QuickTime events so much. Like I always look for little lulls in games so I can like take a drink of like a rock star or like, you know, do something else, and then all of a sudden it's like mash A and D and or you know, press F, and it's just like, you know what? Don't be shouting orders at me. I don't like when my video games try to boss me around.
No, see, I like the reason I like that game, one is because she's a pretty girl, but it never comes back to sex, first of all. She's a female main character, but it's not about being female. It like she could have been male and it doesn't fucking matter. Like and that's a rarity in video games these days. You're either a fucking hulking big male dude, or you're a super attractive female, and it's all, it always comes back to sex because video games always are designed for a 12 year old guy. So the fact that like she's a girl, but it doesn't revolve around her, like I enjoyed that. And the other thing is that I liked about this game is that it's not about like, she just survives. Like that's the thing that I
and
like.
Tries
like,
to help her friends.
Yeah, like it's about survival. Like if I was on an island, trapped, like that would be what I would be doing.
Pretty
too.
Much, yeah.
And she doesn't go through the game good. Like she gets worse and worse. Like every time, like you see her, she gets.
But
more
she
and more
starts getting
up.
Confidence too.
Like, yeah, like, and that's
that
the
was
other
cool
thing.
Too. I like the little touches where like she has to steal herself before she does something fucking nuts. Yeah. You know? Where she's like, "Okay, you can do this, Laura." And I was like, "I would do the same shit, dude." I like this fucking thing looks pretty daunting. Like,
no, see, like I hate Gears of War because it's some fucking hulked out dude.
Yeah.
Talking about whatever, and he's got some gun with a fucking chainsaw on it, and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, at least Tomb Raider, like, you're serious about this, and when she dies in horrible ways.
Oh, you feel so bad. Yeah.
That's the best part about that game, is watching her die with some fucking tree trunk through her body or something like that.
That was the thing everyone was talking about when this game came out, so I kind of expected all that. And yeah, I mean, it delivers that. It's a nice change of pace, but I don't know if I quite agree with it being, like, any divergence from, like, the typical female protagonist. I
mean, finish the game, report back next
week.
All right. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, well, play more of the game.
I think it gets better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. The more you play the game... And, you know, it kind of gets a little supernatural and shit. And
like,
and,
I really like that game. Yeah. More than I'm saying, I guess.
See, I don't know.
Yeah.
I find the combat kind of fun. Like, when I run up on a group of guys, I'm trying to headshot them with a bow and arrow. And, you know, upgrading some of the stuff. I find that. But, like, I feel like there's just an unusual amount of quick time events. Like, unusual. Like, I feel like it's a Telltale game. Like, sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, it's like mash left and right. Now press F. Now hit space bar.
My favorite game of last year was Tomb Raider.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's up there for me, too.
Yeah.
So I do like the graphics, though.
Keep, very pretty. Keep playing the game and tell us what you think.
I expect into the bow. Is that what...
Of course. You got
there's only two things to upgrade on the bow.
You get way past that.
All right, we'll see. But yeah, it does support 3D vision, which is cool, so I can play this with the 3D.
That's cool.
It looks great in it. And it's got tessellation, too. So I know they showed this off at something for consoles. Next-gen consoles are going to have this. It sounds like such a small detail, but it actually makes a big difference. When she moves around, her hair moves with her head at different strands, will go in different directions, and they kind of obey the laws of physics. Mm. A lot like the Batman games with his cape and pieces of paper. The tessellation adds a lot to it. It sounds like, why would anyone care about what the characters
hair
looks
like? No,
because
little things like that take you out of a game where like, oh, come on, like that seems... It's always the fabrics in 3D stuff. That's where you find, you know, as soon as they make... If they make Gollum, the way Gollum, he had no clothes on. That's why he looks so fucking awesome. You make a... If he would have had like flowing robes, you would have just said, oh, that looks like bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, so we'll see. Better they can get with the, you know, hair and stuff.
We agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the little touches that take you out of the game and put you into the game.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, and you're playing that game from a perspective of, like, third person, so you see that a lot. You notice it a lot as she's hopping around and doing things.
What else have you been playing?
Well, let's see. I've been playing that.
And Payday 2.
Yeah, Payday 2, I've been playing quite a bit of that, especially today. A friend of mine is really getting into that game, so I've been playing a lot with him.
Can I talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, we already said our...
Yeah, you guys talked about it last week, but man, the concept of this game, I really dig. Yeah. Like, the fact that you start off in case mode, or what is it called?
Yeah.
Is that casing mode?
Yeah.
And you can do stuff, and you can try and do things stealth, and it's co-op only, which I fucking dig.
Yeah.
And it's first person, like, and there's a ton of shit that's going on, and you have objectives. I love every aspect of it, and I can't wait to play it more. Mm-hmm. I just wish that we can get four people to play it. Because if you don't have four people to play it together, I wish you could do it more than... I wish you could say, I got two people, we're going to do this in two-person mode.
Yeah.
Let me do a job that only involves two people.
Right.
Every job is a four-person job, and I don't like that. Like, I want to say, like, we got two people, let me do a two-person job.
I mean, you could do it with the bots, but they're not very good.
No, the bots are terrible. And you can't do it in two-person because you start playing, and then somebody jumps in.
Oh, but I think I brought this up. Like, you have to cover the people that aren't as good, and you would in real life, you know? Some people aren't as clever or whatever, and you have to play to your strengths. And one thing I didn't bring up last week that I really liked about this game, there's one button for everything.
Yeah.
And depending on what you're looking at, it'll do what you want it to do. And no game, you know, a bunch of other games have a different button for all that stuff. I thought that was genius, you know? Here, I want to do something. It's highlighted because I'm looking at it, and that's a great touch.
I really want to play this more.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to play it more with you guys.
Yeah.
And we need a fourth.
I'm off early this week, all week, so we can definitely get into it
this week. This is the game that I want to play this week.
Yeah, it's going to be me and Zomboid with that and Zomboid.
Yeah. No, it's a great game. I actually was watching some of the... they had an event. Some of the guys with Overkill, I think it was, were doing a some sort of charity thing, a live stream raising money for a charity. And they were giving away, like, free copies of the games, DLC, stuff like that. And I was watching them play for a little bit. It was pretty interesting. But, yeah, I've really got back into this game since it went on sale and kind of had this reprise. I was a big fan of the first one, too.
And bringing it back to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like, because all these doing this free weekend, I would never have played this game. This game would have been lost to me in the fucking nether if they hadn't had this sale, free weekend.
And you discovered it through us, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I bought it for you, actually.
Well, yeah,
maybe if you guys would have listened to me like 6 months ago when I was playing the hell out of this game.
I was so dismissive. I don't remember why.
I don't know. I felt like people kind of like wrongly... disliked this game, kind of looked at it and was like, no, that's not for me. That doesn't look like fun. Because it is very different than like any other game that I played. It's almost a little like Left 4 Dead, but then it's different in a lot of ways, too. It's very unique. You know? Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, talking about bringing in new players through Steam, Smite went live. They had their official release. They're having a giant tournament. Today, it ended, actually.
Yeah.
And, so I imagine their next natural step is to put it on Steam because their other two games are on Steam. So you would think, so I don't know what they're waiting for. Maybe they're caught up with all their other stuff because it's a small company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only like 30 employees or something like that. But I am glad, man, I play that and I feel like I was part of it coming up and I was in there early thanks to Chad and... I feel like my baby's all grown up now.
Yeah.
It looks great, man.
Yeah, it does.
It's a full-on game now.
Yeah.
And I suck so bad.
did we get worse at that game?
You have
when
to,
did we figure this out?
That was always been my thing with Smite. Or I guess maybe
any
MOBAs. Yeah. If you're not playing, you're going to fall by the wayside. And but I'm to the point now where I can go in and lose and still enjoy it because of the other things I just said. Like... the maybe a little bit of nostalgia and the whole like admiration for where they've gone. And I don't think they've made any major follies, you know. The whole thing of coming out with a super cool skin that they knew people were going to buy and use the revenue, 100% of the revenue from that one skin to fund their major launch tournament. Brilliant. Brilliant. And yeah, what a great skin with the best voice pack ever. Have you heard it, Bobby?
The pool sign. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So he, because he talks with a with a snorkel in his mouth.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking like this. You're like, Ernie, great name.
No, yeah. I'm excited for it to come out. So the thing
well, it is out.
The thing that worried me a little bit is that unlike other MOBAs that have the top down, you don't really see the character. You can come out with characters all the time. You can come out with new skins all the time because it's just a quick reskin and go. But with Smite, the character is right in front of your face all the time. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very good about the reskinning. You got to be real. So it's going to suffer because the amount of work that's going to need to happen to reskin and everything like that, it's just going to take more work. So I was concerned with it, but it seems like they're doing it right. Like they're not doing too much, but it seems like they're fitting right in the middle of the road, which I appreciate. But I hope that they come out with more. They don't do a whole lot of their reskins are like, they're not like the crazy reskins that League of Legends have or Dota has. And I want them to do more of like, you know, the baseball Hercules or whatever. Like they're not going crazy on the skins, and I want them to.
I think they need to stay with the silhouette. I don't think they want to change the silhouette.
No, I agree. Right. But like the dark, whatever just came out with the Sun Wukong just came out.
Have you seen that, Bobby?
Not the astronaut one?
No,
oh, the no, I haven't seen that.
So he looks awesome. I told you,
he's a Darth Maul,
basically. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they gave him a voice back, too.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, they should be coming out with those, like, once a week. But the problem is it takes so much effort to fucking reskin these things that I'm not sure. It's going to be work for them to make profit because that's where they're going to be making their money is those kind of skins and all.
Bobby's completely out of the game.
Yeah,
he played the.
No, yeah, actually, he gets pissed off every time we play this.
No, actually, we played a little bit. I've been coming on, losing two games, and then going to bed. That's been kind of the tradition. But then I played some games without you guys, and I actually won a few.
Yeah,
and
then that's how it is for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you log off, and then Amelia and I come in and win.
Well, I think when we group together, then we play other people who are grouped, and they're taking the game a lot more seriously. Yeah. And
no, you know what? I was thinking about this, and maybe we should work into the strategy. They're probably working together. And we just got to like run off and do our own things. Or maybe two of us will work together and the other guy will run off and do it. We need like plays.
Yeah, it's called being a tryhard and I won't be a part of it.
We do not try hard. What's the opposite of try hard? Because that's us.
You know what I was thinking today too as I was in my Payday 2 binge? You know, like the whole free-to-play model and stuff like that. Another thing I've been railing against for like the last couple of weeks. I was thinking, what if Payday 2 is free to play? How would that game be different? You could buy like XP boosts, like money boosts. Like, how would that change the game?
But see, Payday is a co-op game. You're not playing against people. So they could do the free to play model because it's not like I'm pissed off because the guy that I'm playing against fucking won
it's
by
more paper. Like, wow, that guy just cleared this whole place. Yeah. I want what he has.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think they could do a free-to-play model. No doubt about it.
They could.
Do you think it'd make the game better or worse?
More. I don't know. Like, I think they did well with what they have right now. Like, because every time you finish a job or whatever, you get the card or whatever, and it unlocks things or whatever. If you were doing a free to play model, you'd have to remove that, and all the card mechanics and stuff would have to work with some sort of free to play model or something like that.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like it would make it would be a big overhaul. There's not gonna
there's a ton of stuff to unlock in that game.
Yeah,
a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you did a free to play model, like you could do a lot of stuff with unlocking.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's a bunch of different directions they could go with it. But I thought, you know, if like if they had, I mean, it is different because you're not playing against other people. It is co-op, so it's it wouldn't be nearly as frustrating. But
yeah.
I wonder how if they would make more money doing that, or if you know, people would spend more money on that game.
The question is, if it was free to play, would Emilio and I have bought that or downloaded it a long time ago? And that's the question, because the whole free to play model is you get as many people as you can playing the game and hope a certain percentage of them spend money on it. Versus the paid product where it's like you're only going to get a certain percentage of the people that buy the game, but they've bought the game.
You know, maybe the frustration would come from lack of progress because they slow it down so much without paying.
And then you would have to feel like you'd have to spend money to make progress.
Right. Yeah.
In some ways, though...
And that's how I feel about Hawken, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like...
Well, that's how I feel about almost all free-to-play games.
Yeah.
But I feel like that paywall is kind of important. Like, it keeps... You know, a free-to-play game wants as many people playing as possible. I don't want to play with a lot of those people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against, like, young kids or, like, immature kids or just, you know, plain assholes. But, I mean, you get a different crowd when anybody can play.
Yeah, and I think MOBA suffers from that a lot. Like, there's a whole crowd in the MOBA genre where it's just fucking haters and fucking...
They need a VIP griefers. Section.
Yeah, exactly.
For Smite.
A girl told me that she went with the most expensive dating site because she thought that it would self-filter.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And to bring this all together, everything that we've just been talking about, Smite, I hope it goes on Steam, way more players. But I was playing Smite very late, very, very, like 7 a.m. late. Right?
That's early.
That's early. Yeah.
That's not late. That's
so,
early.
And I'm looking at the Sun Wukong skin, and he's so fucking awesome, right? And I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to give him some more of my money, even more, right? So I go to the gems page, and I'm about to buy $24.99 versus gems because there was something else I wanted to. And then I was like, wait, I could get two whole games for this on Steam. So then I was like, no, okay, I'm not going to do that. And then so that's why I ended up getting those other two games.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you're probably better off because of that. Because I don't know, do you guys plan on playing Smite a lot more?
To me, Smite is just like any other game in my repertoire. Like, I will sit down on my computer and say, what do I feel like playing?
Yep.
And Smite will definitely be on my list of what do I feel like playing, you know?
I have more games installed right now. I'm usually a guy that just deletes games as soon as he's done with them, and I only have like 3 games installed. I have more games installed. I still have Nidhogg on there.
You have what?
Nidhogg. Yeah. You haven't seen this, dude. It's fucking weird.
Looks like an Atari game.
It looks like a jousting game. It looks like Joust. Yeah. And it's super intense, super colorful. Fucking, like, I want to say again, less than 8-bit graphics.
Did we already talk about this at some point?
Did we? No, I don't think we ever did.
Nidhogg?
Yeah. We haven't played it that
much. It's like made by Germans or whatever.
Yeah, it's fencing. It's fencing. You're two little 8-bit characters that kind of like fence each other, and you can do different moves. And what happens is, like, say the guy on the right kills the guy on the left. The guy on the right can now run to the left, and the object is for him to run all the way to the end.
It's like opposite tug of war.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he kills the guy, runs to the left. The guy on the left respawns and tries to stop him, tries to kill him, so he can then run to the right. And you go back and forth. You're basically trying to run to the opposite end, and you keep getting in each other's ways. And you have to joust, and whoever wins gets to make a little bit of progress and move on.
And then when you get to the end, should we spoil it?
Let's spoil
Spoilers. If you ever want to play Nidhogg, stop listening to
it. I don't think it's a bad game. I really like the music and the colors and the blood. Oh, the blood stays around. So you're killing each other over and over and over, and the blood's all over the place, and it adds up. It doesn't go anywhere. And there's just fucking blood everywhere. But
and by blood, we mean little colorful blocks that go like...
Yeah. So if you win, you get to the end of the stage, and there's a finish line, and you run past the finish line, and a giant penis comes and eats you. That's what it looks like, right?
A giant penis.
A giant penis creature. It looks like
I think it's supposed to be a worm. You know, maybe like that worm from Dune or something just comes up and eats you. Yeah.
It just comes up and eats you. It's so weird. And so Bobby tried over and over to like dodge it because he kept beating me. I couldn't beat Bobby. So he kept winning.
Well, Bobby's better at video games than
you. Yeah, apparently. He's better at like just about every game.
Life.
Yeah.
Okay. So he kept trying to avoid the penis.
Yeah, and you can't. It just eats you every time. Yeah, so I don't know if you really win because my guy's still
alive.
Is
that a metaphor for
I think
life,
it's a metaphor on life. Yeah. I think they're trying to say something there. Okay. There are no real winners. I mean, you stab your friend with a sword.
Jesus Christ.
That just got
the ultimate shutdown.
Dark.
Bobby shutdown just shut down life.
That's another thing I think about, too. What if life were a game? Like, how would people rate that? It's like...
We're almost to life as a game, by the way.
It's got great graphics. It's got permadeath. It's open world crafting. I mean, this game is big.
Yeah.
This game is big.
Hey, I've been sitting here staring at your shirt all day. What's up with the Titanfall shirt? Tell me about it.
The Titanfall shirt.
Because you always wear...
Did you wear it at work?
You always wear gaming gear. Every time we hang out,
I do.
You wear game gear.
It's so when I go
but
to 7-Eleven,
but you got the Ubuntu shirt or hat and the Titanfall shirt.
I know.
So tell me,
because I love being out in public and people seeing this shit and like commenting on it, and, like saying something like, "Oh, you know," it's always the most random shit too. You know, like I'll wear like I got an ISO Hunt shirt or the really old site Torrent Spy. Like, I just have the most random computer shirts, and, like, people will always, like, I always get a comment on something. Like, now it's not as much fun, but I remember wearing a lot of Jinx clothes back in the day. You know, they're actually a company up in Poway.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were so local, but, yeah, like, random people you would never expect would, like, say, like, oh, no way, you play games, like,
what's
computer
Jinx?
Games.
Jinx... Yeah, it sells World of Warcraft gear.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, World of Warcraft, Diablo, Team Fortress 2.
I saw Bobby wearing the Team Red for TF2.
Oh, that's actually from the Valve store.
Yeah, and I was like, had I not known you and I saw you, I would have definitely said something probably.
Yeah.
Like, dude, fucking TF2.
I love that, dude. It brings out the gamers in real life.
Yeah.
Like, people always got to comment on it. You know, it's awesome.
You know, I was at work, and this father and son were talking about pushing the lane. And I was like, what are you guys... I was like, are you guys talking about... what'd I say? I said Smite. And they were like, no, we're talking about, like, Dota. And
you were like,
naturally.
And they went right back to their like conversation and like cut me out of it. And I was like, you guys should try Smite.
Yeah, typical Dota players.
Yeah,
am
I
right? Come on.
Elitist. But it was cool that it was a father and son and they played together.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I was at work one time and a kid, I was wearing my Aperture hoodie. And some kid was like, oh, I like your hoodie. And I looked down and he's holding the Warhammer 40K book. I'm like, and this kid looked like a nerd, dude. Like this... This is straight up nerd talking to me. So I was like, oh, thanks, man. I like your book there. You like that game? Yeah, and I talked to him a little bit. Like,
P.S. He's going to hear this. P.S. He's crushed.
Yeah. He thinks he's cool. And
he's
you
crying
just
into his 40K.
There's no way this kid
out.
Thought he was cool, dude. This kid was straight up original nerd, dude. Like, not like these new, like, tall, skinny nerds with big Adam's apples, like Spider-Man or some shit. You know what I'm talking about? That new Spider-Man movie.
What just happened?
I don't know.
Did we go?
This is the philosophical fucking podcast. Can we get back to gaming? What's going on here?
I have no idea. But you got that Titanfall shirt pre-ordered. Yeah. You pre-ordered, and that's what you got.
No. This Titanfall shirt actually came from my girlfriend gets this thing called Loot Crate. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh yeah.
You get like these little like it's always different stuff that you get like monthly or something like that. And she's a teacher, so like she uses it in class as like a reward system and stuff like that. And any like cool shit, I take out first. So you know, I get first pick
at the Loot Crate. Okay.
Yeah. So
this was something that was in it.
This was something that was in it. So yeah, I'm rocking the Titanfall, even though I have
because you don't own the game.
I don't, and I probably won't buy it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it looks like a fun game, but it's just like
I might
like,
pick it up for $20.
For $20, so, that's your price.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I might buy it eventually, but I think I was expecting something different, and I should have known that this was just going to be kind of like a new take on Call of Duty.
Oh, wait. It's on Origin as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, good luck on that.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Because of Origin or because they won't put it on sale?
Yeah,
because
they're on Origin.
Really?
I think I'm going to... I'm a hardcore Steam guy. Like, it's going to have to be a very...
What's your problem with Origin?
I like Origin, actually.
That those games should be on Steam. Yeah. I shouldn't have a different client. Or just let me buy a game. Why do I need your client to have it as well?
Well, see, I thought that same thing like 10 years ago when I was forced to install Steam.
Exactly.
Now it's like I couldn't imagine life without
it. But now Steam's established. Why aren't you using Steam? Because you want the revenue. You don't want to give them the additional revenue. But you'd be making way more money because you'd be selling way more copies. Yeah. I think there's a lot of guys like me that just doesn't want to go get Origin.
Origin's really not all that bad, though. Yeah. I mean, it's just another thing. And I kind of like their layout.
And we had to get it when we got Spore. So you got it. Yeah. You got it on your computer.
No, I know.
I had to get it for SimCity like almost exactly a year ago.
I can't believe SimCity. That was a debacle.
Well, did you hear what they did recently?
Up and down.
They put out the offline mode. So you don't have to be on their servers. You don't have to be connected to them. It's pretty much what they were asking for, like what everybody wanted from the get-go.
Right.
So a year later, they're like, all right. And the email literally said, like, oh, we're listening to our customers. You know, we know what you want. We've heard it. So here it is. And I still haven't played that
too
game.
Too little, too late. Like, you paid full
price for that, too.
Yeah,
didn't you?
I played probably like 35 hours when it came out.
Oh, I see. You haven't played it again.
I haven't picked it up since. Yeah. It's felt very, very small. Like, you build your city to the brink of its borders, and it kind of makes you rely on surrounding neighboring cities for, like, trade and other things, you know? Like, you can't build one city that does everything, like, has great schools, has a great industry, has, like, casinos and commercial. Like, you got to pick one thing and go that direction.
Right.
And then rely on neighboring cities for the rest.
I'm not one for simulations unless they're zombie-based.
See, I love sim games.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
So what else we got? Are we done?
We might be at the end of it. Let me see. Well, no, NVIDIA Titan Z. What's up with that?
Okay, I just wanted to... first of all, don't buy it. I think... I don't know why they made it. Apparently, if you have two Titan Blacks, you get better numbers, and it's $1,000 less if you buy two. This thing costs $3,000.
Holy shit.
$3,000.
Well, they're probably making this for... Because the original Titan was... more for like crunching numbers, not necessarily gaming. You can use it for that and it performed great, but like cost per performance, not a good deal for gaming.
Right.
Much more in the line of like Bitcoining or Bitmining or something like that. So this might be...
Just processing in general.
This might be trying to make some money on that. I think like video card, like NVIDIA and AMD might start catering more to that market.
Right.
Because it's getting pretty big.
Speaking of Bitcoin, it's way down right now. China outlawed Bitcoin, so that was a huge blow. It's down to like 450. It's the lowest it's been in a long time. Damn. $450 each. They were up to like 1900, and then the Mt. Gox thing happened, and they went down to like 750. And now it's 550. I might buy one.
Buy low, sell high.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, though? Speaking of hardware, I've decided I'm going to upgrade my rig in June. The Haswell refresh is coming out, so going to get the new processor then. I'm not waiting until Broadwell. Going to get a new Haswell, going to get a new motherboard and RAM, stick with the same video card probably.
It's almost like you started speaking another language.
Yeah, that I didn't get any English. Of that. It's I got a hard-on for some reason. I was fully aroused. I don't know why, but it sounded hot.
Right? Well, haven't you been thinking about building a new computer?
Yeah, so do you want me to buy your old one?
I would sell you parts of it, the RAM and the CPU. I would get a new motherboard, though. And, yeah, I'll give you a great deal on that, man. That'd be a great time for you to upgrade, too, because these are solid parts, man. It has just not progressed like it has in the past.
Yeah. Dude,
I remember, like, in 2005 or 2006, like, you buy a new computer or you build a new computer a year later, and it was, like, way bigger and better, and you can do much more with it graphically in games.
I think it has something to do with the games themselves, though. There aren't a lot of games pushing boundaries these days.
Well, aren't we hitting the upper edge of just the amount of...
how pretty things can get? Maybe. And
I think we're hitting that with everything, because things are just... technology is just becoming so much more complex, and when things become more complex, they break down more, they become more expensive and more difficult to use. And I think we're just kind of hitting that line.
And we don't know how much processing power is it going to take to do VR. Like,
yeah.
You need a monster rig to play Oculus?
Well, the thing about that is it'll be just like 3D because you're rendering two frames,
right?
As opposed to one, you're rendering a frame for each eye. So it's exactly like my 3D vision.
Or like running two monitors, right?
Yeah.
No,
because you're actually rendering two frames, and two monitors takes that one frame you're rendering and puts it on two screens.
So you do need a pretty decent rig.
Yeah, there is a big performance hit. I can't really say exactly what it is, but yeah, there's a fairly big performance hit when you do that. But it works the same way that 3D vision works. And I'm wondering, that's a general statement, but I'm wondering if they'll be able to use profiles from, like, games that are 3D vision ready will, like, transfer
right into Oculus right away.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not, but maybe.
My next rig, I just decided right now, and because it makes sense, my next rig has to be my Oculus rig, obviously.
Yeah.
So I need it, yeah.
When is Oculus supposed to come out?
2014, I think they said their consumer model was going to come out.
Well, it's 2014.
No, I know.
Do we know anything?
It might be early 2015 because I don't think they had originally planned the dev kit too. Now that that's come out, it's pushed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Keep waiting and waiting. It'll come eventually. All right.
We good?
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Bobby, gonna do the spiel?
What spiel?
Oh, DL Gaming on Steam, dudes at DL Gaming's the email, and DLGaming.net. Check out the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and we didn't do the, I'm sorry if you went on Facebook, went on YouTube looking for our video. We never posted it. That's why I need to get a new rig, because we need to get more videos so that we can overlay the games on our podcast. So be patient. We'll get it out there, and it'll be great. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you guys later. Titties.